Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? I do not. Back when I was a kid growing up, one of the highlights of growing up in this area was going to Myrtle Beach during the summer. And with my cousins and friends, we'd all go down there to Ocean Lakes and drive around Ocean Lakes with a golf cart and just act a fool, you know. That was just what we did as kids growing up. I must have been 12 or 13. We were out there acting a fool, and somebody on a balcony one night said, "Hey, good looking, where are you from?" You know, kids being kids, and of course, I'm being honest, Ralston. So I don't think she was expecting that response because she couldn't find it on a map. Ralston, how you doing? We got our own dialect, don't we? So we've been talking about Psalms 139. We went through the whole chapter last week just to preface the teaching here, the training here, for a very popular prayer that David read aloud. And we tried to contextualize it a little bit so you understood more about his heart, his attitude, and his thought process during the time. You know, things about Scripture, one good thing about Scripture that I would encourage all of you to do, especially if it's in the New Testament, is, of course, read it in context, and then if it's one of the Gospels, read the other Gospels that have it as well so that you can get more of a holistic view, you know, because how many know it's real easy to project your own meaning on words sometimes. Okay, has anyone ever done that? Has anyone ever just sort of projected, you know, so-and-so said this to me, and then I'm going to interpret what they meant by it? Well, you don't know that, do you? You know, sometimes we misunderstand, don't we? In our day-to-day life, I mean, they even tell us in the court system that eyewitness testimony is only so good, isn't it? Because what is an eyewitness testimony? It's someone's perspective articulated in their own way, and then it's up to you to understand what they mean by the words they're using, and then it is on their perspective. So that's why when we're really grappling with these things of God and the Spirit of God and what the Holy Spirit has written for us, we need His Spirit first and foremost. Lord, what do you mean by this? And then more, and then beyond that, is there other things that I can look at to help, you know, provide some light on this? And that's one of the things that this prayer is talking about. What does he say in Matthew 139, verse 23? Let's just read that to catch everybody up. I call it the prayer of promotion. Some have called it the prayer of growth. But I will tell you this. Anytime I'm working on anything in my life, the Lord is quickening it to my heart that, hey, Terry, you need to tighten up on this. You need to get a little better on this. I need you to be better. You know, anytime I get that unction, I go right back here. Here's the formula. This is the prayer I pray, because there's one thing I know about God. He is faithful to answer, isn't he? He is faithful to answer. And especially when you start praying his words, look out. The only thing that I told people when we introduced this class, the caveat to this prayer is be ready, because he answers it. And sometimes it comes high and tight. That's a little baseball metaphor. It's like he's going to get you off that plate, isn't he? He catches you leaning a little too much. But Psalms 139, verse 23, what does he say? David's praying to God, and he says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Now, that is a dangerous prayer, isn't it? That is someone that's just asking God, go ahead, hit me, and this time put some stank on it. You know? It's like, what are you doing, David? How many of you ever just said, hey, try me? I mean, can you think about that just for a second? Where do you have to be intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, that you're at a point in your life, say, okay, God, try me? But that's where David's at. And that's where we need to be when we're wanting God to really show up and show out in our life and see greater things. How many get tired of the same old, same old? Yeah. How many get tired of the same level you've been at for years? Or am I the only one? How many, it's like, it's time for a new scenery, you know what I'm saying? But guess what? When it comes to new levels, what do we get to face? New devils, right? So for every new level, there's a new devil. And so to graduate, we have to tackle the devil on the level we're at, don't we? And sometimes if we're not willing to do that, what do we get to do? We just get to circle that mountain over and over again. Boy, I've seen this one before, hadn't I? But I did a teaching several years ago that sometimes you go in circles and sometimes you go in what? Cycles. Nothing wrong with going in a cycle. A cycle is I'm coming back around. I've seen this devil before, but last time I whipped it, and I'll whip it this time because I'm going up that mountain. Sometimes you'll see the same devil, but you don't want to see him on the same level, right? That's the point. So David's asking, search me, O God. There's a parallel verse in New Testament, if you turn over sometimes. Matthew is the one I picked out, but I think it's also in Mark and Luke. But it's this. It's Jesus in red saying this. If anyone desires to be what? A disciple of me, what does he need to do? Let him do what? Deny himself and then do what? Take up his cross and do what? Now, there's four parts of that prayer that David just prayed. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. So what's he saying? Search my heart. Search my heart. Second part of that prayer is what is he asking? Try my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. Search my heart if anyone desires. What does heart have to do with? What do I want? So when David is saying, search my heart, what is he asking God to do? What's that prayer literally asking and beseeching of God? Talk to me. Expose my desires. Expose my desires. Know my desires. Know my desires. What does it mean to search something?
Reveal.
Could be his carnality.
It could also be where he's
going. Okay, let me ask you this. Is it wrong or right to want to be in leadership? Let's just throw that one out there. It could be. See, that's the point. What is your motives? The motives is what decides. So what he's saying, what he's really getting at the crux at is, what is my motivation? You know, it could be, you know, Paul says it's a good thing for a man to want to be an overseer. Paul also says not to self-promote. He also says to question yourself, to be humble, and he will lift you up, right? So are those conflicting messages? Absolutely not. It's saying this, what's your motivation? Why? There's two questions I always like to put to a test that has worked for me, and they're very simple questions. What and why? What do I want? Why do I want it? What do I want? And you guys go, oh, this is simple. Oh, really? Oh, really? Have you ever struggled with really deciding what you want? Have you ever been with me and my wife trying to figure out what to eat? What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I have been in rooms with people. I've been in settings where I joined this mastermind 3 or 4 years ago. It was one of the greatest things I was able to do. Fortunately, got to meet some people, be exposed to some things. I went through more growth in my time period of my life in that time period. And I remember this one highly, highly successful attorney from New Jersey in our group. And literally 6 months when it was his turn to be in the hot seat, you know what we talked about and what was on the table? We call it a hot seat, where someone sits in a hot seat and they say, this is where I'm at. And in the context here, it was business. But masterminds can be in spiritual matters. It can be in any context. But in this context, it was business. But for 6 months, do you know what it took the longest time to get this person to? Being honest with what they wanted. Now, why do we have a hard time saying what we want?
Because
we're Christians and we shouldn't want that. We've been, well, absolutely. You know, there's a thing about what's called false humility. Well, what would it look like if I said I wanted that?
And so we want to put on this sort of false, you know, no, not me. Oh, shucks, no, nah, not me. Nah, I just, when God has got this burning desire in you to do something great for him that requires you to step up to the plate and say, this is what I want. I want to have a huge impact in my sphere. I want to be a major contributing voice to what I do. And now, that can be a nefarious desire. That can be for nothing but self-edification, self-gratification, self-promotion, self. Or it could be, hey, I've been given something here. I've been given the ability to fix a problem in my own life. And now, God's called me. You know, Paul says to comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with. In other words, there's always purpose for your pain. If you want to waste a wound, then have a wound, get healed, and then don't share it with nobody. The whole reason I'm walking around with a limp is so I can go to Jeff and say, let me tell you how I got this limp, because I'm seeing you walking with the same thing. And let me tell you, here's a crutch that you can use, and you don't even have to have a crutch anymore. Yes, Jeff, I see that hand. Won't you come? Absolutely.
I mean, I got a bicycle or something I want, a car.
Absolutely.
And do I want a car or do I need a car?
Maybe, and that's
three cars.
That's
do
when
you
we
a car or do you want a car?
And that's a great point. So what's the difference between a want and a desire or just a need and just a flippant want? You know? So there was a talk I heard just a couple weeks ago. And I love the title of it, and I think you guys will too. And I'm coming this close. If y'all see a podcast or a message coming up that's titled this, you know, I'll go ahead and tell you, I stole it because I loved it so much. It was that good. I won't go there. And the title was, What Everyone Knows About You That You Don't. What everyone knows about you that you don't. And it was a talk that this person was giving about the importance and the imperative on all of us for community, church, small groups, family. Why? Because everybody in here, everybody has a blind spot. Everybody in here. And what did I say? The three ways that when David prays this prayer, search my heart, try my thoughts, confront my hurts, and help me learn how to be led. When he's saying those four things in this prayer that is guaranteed for us to be able to grow into more and more of being more and more like him. When he prays that prayer, how is God going to answer it? It's going to come through three to four, in my experience. It's going to come from my friends. Hey, Terry, I noticed that. Because what? Faithful or what? You ain't my friend if you ain't speaking truth to me. You're just an acquaintance. A real friend tells me, hey, boy, tighten up. Or, hey, has anyone told you they loved you lately? True friends speak truth, don't they? An acquaintance just says, hey, what would make Terry feel better today? Right? And maybe sometimes that's what I need. But a true friend is there for the long haul. A true friend speaks the truth and then sticks around to walk me through the hurt. You ain't a friend if you're just going around whacking people and walking. That's not a friend either. But he speaks through friends. Who else does he speak through? Pardon? Family. He'll speak through your family. He'll speak through your family, your wives, your children. I've had more. He speaks through your foes, your friends, your family, your foes, and your faith. Four ways he speaks to us: friends, family, foes, and faith. Our faith. So be it according to your faith. What is that cow mooing to you? Mine told me, move. Lord, do you want me to stay here or should I move on? But that's true. His word, and the Spirit speaking into me, and he's exposing things that I'm willing. But guess what? What I've learned about Terry Wilson that Terry Wilson don't know. Terry sometimes will put his own perspective on it, his own experiences on it, his own perspective on it, and won't really see what God's saying. Or will only see this narrow of a bandwidth. And I'm at a time in my life where God needs broadband. I don't have time right now to wait on you to grow up because the next battle you've got is coming in 30 days and I got to get you ready for it and you don't even know about it. So I need some broadband download on this boy, and he ain't going to get it just through his own. So guess what? Send out the friends. Oh, he's not listening to his friends. Send out some family. Oh, he's ignoring his wife. Send out the foes. He's going to get it to you one way or the other. Because what has he done? He's committed to answer my prayer. And what's my prayer? Search me, oh God. Know my heart. And then try me, oh Lord. Know my thoughts. Sometimes I try to just ignore that one. I was like, you know, that David might pray that, but I'm not going to pray that one. But anyway, so he says, search my heart. Well, let's get into that. How do we search and respond to God as he exposes? What are some ways we can understand our desires? Because what David's really getting at in that prayer, what he's at the crux of this prayer on the front part of it, is when he's saying, search and know my heart. What is he saying? What is motivating me? What's driving this? And so we ask the two questions. What? Hard question. And why? What do I feel? Why do I feel it? When Terry Wilson gets up and speaks, what do you feel? I feel irritated. Well, why? Or I love it. Well, why? Or I'm indifferent. Well, why? When so-and-so, when this happens, what do you feel? So, what do you feel? Well, why? Jim, what do you feel? Well, why? Let's get into it.
Pastor.
Yes.
I used to be irritated.
By what?
By you.
Well, I... No. But I gave you plenty of reasons.
No, I know. When I finally realized that it takes me, because we're so different. And that's the good. Viva la difference, you know? The body of Christ...
Are you speaking in tongues? We need an interpreter. Well, personalities.
I give it space for a while and let you be done with your comedy routine, just to be honest, but it's not that. I realize that. That's how I used to think. Well, let's let the comedy team go and then let's get down to it.
Are you not a fan of comedy?
No, but you always hear at the comedy show. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I loved it. But no, but you do land the plane every time. It's just like you have to.
With a friend.
With no fire attached.
Yeah. No, really.
No, I get
fire.
It.
But I had to learn.
I get it.
Praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate
it. I said, search my heart. What's wrong with me? But he showed me it's okay.
Well, good. Well, personalities are so different.
They are.
And, you know, to the extent a person cannot be a stumbling block, I try. If I know that there's something about my personality that could be a stumbling block, I have to take it before the Lord. And then I have to ask this question. Am I trying to please a person, or am I genuinely trying to not be a stumbling block? Is there things that I can modify that are still true to myself? Because I can't become an actor. I can't, because I am who I am, you know. So, you know, sort of take me or leave me, you know. But here's the thing I've always put on people, you don't have to like me. I want to release everyone from that obligation. You have to love me. But you don't have to like me. Because I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes I don't like me.
Well, you probably don't like me.
But that's irrelevant.
It's okay. Yeah.
Because we're all different. Like you said, the personalities are different. The way we communicate are different. Where we're at in life is different. Because here's the thing I've learned about my personality. I am a very, and my mother's sitting right there. We normally... you know, all the way from Richmond, Virginia. She was going up to Washington, D.C. To straighten them all out and ran out of gas and landed in Richmond. So. But she promises to fill the tank up and get things straightened out up there sometimes. So anyway, but she can attest to this. And Mom, if I'm lying, stand up and correct me. I've always been a jokester. It's just my personality. But what I've learned about that is people are at different places in life at different times, and humor can be interpreted differently. Humor can be interpreted as someone not empathizing with a problem or a situation or what's going on in a room. For instance, if we're in the middle of a wake right now, someone just passed away, and there's mourning, and then I come in cracking up, that's exactly... But here's what I've learned. What's going on in the hearts and minds of people all in this room right now, I have no idea. Because it's not announced on the billboard up there that there's this wake and there's this mourning going on right now. But I guarantee you, with this many people in the room, someone's mourning. Someone is mourning right now. And for my personality to walk in, it's like me going into a funeral. Hey, a bear and a rabbit were in the woods. And it's out of place in their heart, in their mind, in that time right now. But did I, yeah, have you, do you know that, Dan? Yeah, yeah. Well, the bear looked up at Mr. Rat, and you have problems. Well, never mind. I'll tell you later.
That's also part of who God made us as a collective body. He said the rich variety of the body. And that's where we really, I mean, that's where we learn and grow and mature towards what really matters.
Absolutely.
Together to honor and glorify
Him. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron. But I've never seen iron sharpen iron without two elements: friction and heat. Friction and heat. How does He search our heart? How does He search our motives? How does He search? Well, let's get into it, because what you just brought up is actually in the text. And I want to show it to you. So He starts off right here. He says, search my heart. Let's go on down here. A searching heart. To be examined thoroughly is what that means. And here's... Psalms 19:14. Write this down. Psalms 19:14. Here's one of the ways that he searches your heart. Psalms 19:14 says this: let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Everybody know that passage, right? What does that got to do with searching your heart? My question is this: do you hear what you're saying? Because out of your mouth, out of your heart, what will happen? The issues of life. And it will reveal the heart. And this is why you need friends, family, and foes. Because sometimes they'll put a check on what your words are. How many times have you been in a relationship? This happens all the time in marriage, but it don't have to be in marriage. It can be in anything. And you're talking, and you repeat back to what the person just said, and they say, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Did they say what you meant? No. They said, you said this. I didn't mean that. You said this. What's that whole exercise for? Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now, here's the thing. When we're in control of ourselves emotionally, we'll say what we're supposed to say. We'll say what a Christian is supposed to say this. My attitude is supposed. Pastor Terry, I love you. You know what? And then stress, pressure, I'm not saying you, but whatever. And I get it. But then whatever's in there, you start getting leakage. Then you're always cracking up, making jokes. You think you're funny? Well, all of a sudden, now I'm not picking on you, by the way. But, and I could be the same way. All of a sudden, my attitude towards someone or something or whatever, what happens? And so Do I hear myself speak? Do I allow people around me challenge what? Terry Wilson, you just said X, Y, and Z. When you said that, this is the way I interpret it. But what do you mean by it? Well, I don't want to say what I mean by it. Because if I answer the what do I have to answer next? Y'all are listening. See why what is so hard to answer? Because if we ever admit what we feel, what our attitude is, what our thought process is towards someone or something or whatever, what has to happen next? I have to confront the why. And boy, that why is, that why is a big old bear that, you know, I don't have a stick big enough sometimes. But here's the thing. God never does what? He never puts what on us. It's his grace and his mercy toward me that he only reveals so much to me at a time. He gives me little droplets because so be it according to Terry Wilson's faith. I couldn't tackle it all at one time. I couldn't. I'd be overwhelmed and what would happen? I'd become disillusioned. I'd become disheartened. I would just like, forget it. I can't do this. But he gives me just enough of a mirror, of a reflection of, this is what you just said. This is what you just said. Yeah. Why?
You know, I think a good fun line, especially for me, especially if I want to please somebody, I have to think about the audience of one. Yeah. The Father is the audience of one.
Yeah.
If he's pleased, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You can hear and know his voice, his ways, if you pay attention to what you're saying and doing. Huh. And if you live your life that way, you don't have to please everybody, just please him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That is true. Now, people pleasing is a big thing, isn't it? You know, how many times have you been cornered into something and you said something and you're like, I don't really believe that. Terry, do you want to come to such a... Well, I'd love... Well, no, I don't. You know, but you know, we in the South, we've got, you know, a disease called the polite disease where we just feel like, you know, we're going to lie the Christian way. I'd love to come, but we just can't. You know, bless your heart. You know. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move off of that before someone gets honest. We are in church. It says here, Matthew 12:34 says this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do we hear ourselves? The one above that, 19, I didn't hit this. And I've mentioned this before in past, but it bears repeating in this. Where he says, let the words, that's where this next one comes. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Sometimes, we get in the habit of listening to ourselves more than we're talking to ourselves. And the way I have to confront my heart, my desires, is, you know, because the Bible says the heart is what?
Wicked.
And what? And deceitful. Which means it'll lie to you. It will lie to you. And all this new age nonsense where just follow your heart. You'll end up broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, I mean, if you follow your heart, that's the fastest way to finding misery is following your heart. But I heard Ray say this one time, Ray Edwards, and I've shared it before, but it's in context of this. I'll share it again. You know, Ray got stricken with MS, and he's not only a believer, but a believer that believes that God's promises are yes and amen, and his healing is for today. And he prayed for healing. He prayed for healing. He's prayed for healing. He's prayed for healing. And guess what? He ain't healed. And his symptoms are worse. The things have gotten progressively worse. And And this is a gentleman that serves in a high up in a particular ministry and is well connected with a lot of people. He's a copyright professionally. He's worked with big corporations like Coca-Cola and Tony Robbins, and he works for a church, major ministry out of California. And, you know, he's like, God, you said in your word, by your stripes, I am healed. And just claim, and it just, it's not getting better. He says, my life was coming unraveled. My faith was taking a hit. And he says, until I learned this one thing. And he says, Ray Edwards, you quit listening to yourself and start speaking to yourself. And he says, in the moment I started talking to myself rather than listening to myself, he says, my physical ailments have not changed, but emotionally, spiritually, internally, what I can do changed just like that. He goes, I am the head, not the tail. I am healed. Whether the body ever receives, I am healed. And he started speaking to himself, and he says, it is amazing how even in the darkest hours, even in the hardest times, even when his physical ailments are really taking a hit, he's taking a hit on it, it's not taking a hit here. And he says, I am having more encounters with God than I ever have before. He goes, I'll be honest with you, I thank God for my ailment. He says, because it has brought me to the cross. It has brought me closer to him. I know him in ways I would have never known before. I mean, his attitude and his shift, just simply by saying, I stopped listening and I started speaking to myself. And what did I speak? I spoke the words of God.
And that's not really a lie, because the greatest healing is salvation. I mean, I'm healed. I mean, what
absolutely
healing can you get?
No, it's not a lie.
It's not really a lie for anybody that has a problem with that.
No, it's not, because at the end of the day, you are going to be healed. What's in question is when. You, God promises physical, spiritual, and emotional healing. We are all going to be healed. We are all healed already. Now, when does that manifest? In his perfect time. Absolutely.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. But here's the message. Healing is of God. It is promised to us. It is yes and amen. It is not to be compromised on. I would rather have that message and leave it to the sovereign hands of God to how and when and where he's going to manifest that than to tell anyone, well, you can't be healed. Because when they hear that, what happens internally? Now their spirit is wounded. Now their soul is wounded. Now they can't experience the promises of what God has in store for him through working through that process. Paul prayed and prayed and prayed all in the New Testament. Take this thorn from me. But he says, where you're imperfect and where you're weak, Paul, I not only get to show up, but I get to show out. And there's a reason why he got to write 3/4 of the New Testament. Right? So, you know, sometimes what we have to search my heart, if anyone desires, Jesus says the same thing, if anyone desires, I'm having to say, what do I want? I want this. Why do I want it? Because it hurts. Okay? Through that pain, through that suffering, through that inconvenience, through that whatever, is there a way that I could express my grace even greater to you and you would know it? Terry, to what depth do you want to be able to minister to? Well, I want to be able to minister to anyone I come in contact with. Well, doesn't it stand to reason that you're going to have to experience some things? Because people in an ivory tower that nothing has ever touched has a hard time talking to people that is out in the field getting beat by life. We got to ask ourselves, what do we want? I want to be able to minister and talk and touch anyone and have impact on them. I want to have influence. I want them to know your goodness and grace, and I want to be a vessel of that. Okay, okay. Why do you want it? Because that's what you called me to. Great. I'm glad you signed up. Here we go. Wait a minute. What are we doing out here? Because that's the pathway to bring healing, to bring... Absolutely.
And you're sharing it through your actions, not just your words.
Absolutely. I tell you, the greatest gift I think God can give us as a people is giving us things that make us so uncomfortable, so agitated, so irritated. The greatest gift that God has ever given me is some of the greatest failures I materially have ever had. But I'm going to tell you what, I've been able to build a company, a life, a message, a whole thing, and I never would have simply because of God giving me something I would have not previously asked for. God, I want the payoff, but I don't want the work that it takes to get the payoff. Because that's what I'm really asking. God, I want a paycheck. I don't want a job. He says, but I offer jobs. And yes, the paycheck comes with it. I mean, I'm no better than some of the people I rail against right now. They don't want work. They just want money. God, I don't want suffering. I just want power. What? It don't work that way. It don't work that way. I would love for you to. That's right.
And so I began to pray for her, and then I knew her mama. So I thought, we'll take her Sunday morning and get her anointing with oil. We weren't at this church, but we went to the pastor to do anointing with oil. So we went in the kitchen, and we took the people around that we believed, and we took the oil out of the cabinet in the kitchen and anointed her. Her little mommy was standing back here, said, but the doctor said, I said, well, we're just writing all that off. She's healed.
Amen.
She was healed.
Amen. Absolutely.
It was just him.
Absolutely.
But she was healed.
We are to claim our healing.
Yeah.
And we're to claim it for other people. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now thank God for the faith of healing. Faith for healing. Because I just think it's a terrible thing to see any problem we confront and then just write it off as, well, that's just the way it is. It is what it is. Where's the hope in that? Where is the faith that someone can grab a hold of so that they can let God do what he wants to do? Because he will. Yeah, that's amazing. All right, let's go on. So it says here, look this up sometime in your Psalms 37. Are you rushing me? I'm American. I don't want no Russian telling me what. No. I'm Irish. Well, top of the morning to you. Read it sometimes as we close. You know what that means when a preacher says it, right? Absolutely nothing.
Psalms 37:4, read that sometimes, says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will do what? What does it mean to you to delight yourself in the Lord? Delight, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. So be like MC Hammer right now and break it down.
You said
delight. What does the word delight mean? What does it mean to delight?
It also
means delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, it can, which is the reverence.
Right.
The reverence. But I want to get a little more narrow on what does it mean to delight? Okay, prioritizing. So we're getting a little closer. We're getting a little closer to please him. We're getting close. To be authentic.
He took it.
Right. Resurrection power, that's good.
Anytime you hear that music, get up and act foolishly in front of God, like David did.
Well, he shook a jig, didn't he?
Yeah.
I heard a preacher once say, I don't believe dancing's for today. Like, I don't know if dancing is naked in church is for today, but I do believe dancing. Yeah, I'll draw the line there, but I think. That's right. Amen. Well, it gets back down to what we're talking about is desire. Search my heart. And here's where I look it up sometimes. How many times you can do something because you know it's the right thing to do and you want to please someone. In the context here, we're wanting to please the Lord. And I'm going to do what's right because I want to please God. But I don't want to do it. Right? Hey, God says, Terry, forgive those who spitefully use you, right? Okay. So I want to be obedient, right? So, you know, you irritated me the other day when you said such and such and so and so. You were pulling for Duke, and you should have been pulling for North Carolina, but that's okay. That's okay. I forgive you. Well, yeah. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to treat you just as if you were a Tar Heel rather than a Blue Devil. Now, that is me capitulating. That's me being obedient. But delighting, it says, not only do I forgive you, I want to forgive you. Not only am I doing this act because it's a thing of obedience, but I'm enjoying doing it. Not just because it pleases God, but because I have learned to enjoy the ways of God. I've learned to enjoy doing it His way. I've tried it my way, and I don't care what Frank Sinatra says. It don't work. I've lived. You know, but I'm having fun. I'm having a greater experience. I'm finding enjoyment by doing this act, not just because it's the right thing to do, not just because it's the obedient thing to do. I want to do it. It brings me joy to say, I no longer look at you as a blue devil. I look at you as my sister. To delight in the Lord, that passage right there, it says, if you will delight, listen, delight yourself in the Lord, which is a rulership. So the whole context is finding joy, pleasure, contentment, excitement, and doing things through a rulership of the way He does it. If I can find a path to do that, what is a guaranteed, non-refundable, all sales final promise that He gave me? He will give me the desires of my heart. Search my heart, oh God. Know them. So the first part of that prayer we talked about today, which was knowing, searching, and understanding the heart. Next week, we're going to be talking about try my thoughts. Try my thoughts. I got a lot of thinking to do. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sharing it with us. Thank you for exposing your ways to us as we continually move and press toward our high calling. And we ask you right now that you would seal this word in us, Lord, that we would be meditating on it in the coming days. And Lord, we would not just be hearers of your word, but we'd be employers of it. We would put it to the job force. We'd put it out in the fields. We'll put it before us, behind us, in our comings and our goings, so we could see everything that your word, your will, and your way does. In your name we pray. Amen.